Greetings, troubled listeners. Welcome back to the Troubled Men Podcast. I am Renee Komen, sitting once again in Snake and Jake's Christmas Club Lounge in the heart of the Klempire with my co-host, the original troubled man for troubled times and future mayor of New Orleans, Mr. Manny Chevrolet. Welcome, Manny.
Hey, what is going on?
Oh, not too much. I see a lot of these kids, Tulane kids, university kids, kind of celebrating maybe the tail end of their post-semester celebrations. Are they?
Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Thank these fucking kids, man. They're just... I don't know. Don't give me that.
Yeah. We don't need to get started on all that.
They're gone.
Right.
Right. That's good. They have a thing for commencement where they say wave goodbye. You know, they're the Tulane Green Wave.
Right.
That's their mascot is a wave. That's what I say. I go, goodbye.
Right. You're happy to perform the wave.
Goodbye.
Right.
You know, and then in a few months, it'll all start all over.
Right.
But it's funny how the end of semester is... The end of the school year is getting as busy as the beginning of the school year.
For you with the textbooks?
Yeah, with everything going on, with the commencements, the books, and the parents. The parents are the worst. They're the worst. Are you a parent?
I am not a parent.
Yeah, no. Don't ever be a parent.
That's the goal.
The worst. Yeah,
I'm way ahead of you.
A parent, because you know,
well,
I want things.
It has its pluses and minuses. But
you know... Yeah, anyway, so that's... I'm very exhausted right now.
Okay, well, we have some big news. We were talking about it last week, but the news
that?
Came in since then. The new Pope has been selected.
Oh, yeah. I give him 1 year, and then he's dead.
1 year, yeah. and a visit from J.D. Vance.
Well, that or... Because he's an American.
Right.
I think he's going to be assassinated within the year.
Yeah, some of those Illuminati insiders from Vatican City.
I don't know what that means, but I think an American will kill him.
Really?
I think a Trump supporter will probably try to assassinate
him. Wow, crazy.
That's my prediction.
Okay.
Give it 12 to 18 months, and he's a dead man.
Okay.
Or maybe a Cubs fan will kill him.
Right, because
he's a White Sox
fan. Right,
yeah.
He's an American from the south side of Chicago with Creole New Orleans roots. His grandparents were here in the turn of the 20th century.
Yeah,
living here in the 7th Ward, Creoles, and
who wants to? Nobody listens to the Pope. It's like the Dalai Lama. Nobody listens to that guy either. You know, he's all about peace. Fuck the Dalai Lama. Nobody listens to that guy. Nobody listens to the Pope. They kiss his ring and they move on.
A Blues Brothers inspired Pope, though, is
he's a trombone player as well.
Right? Is that real?
No, that's true.
I've been seeing that photo. I didn't know if it was AI or not.
No, that's
Pope.
No, it's true.
He actually plays.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay. He's like Bones Malone.
Well, he's got to finger something.
It's keeping it clean.
Yeah.
Keeping it on the up and up.
Yeah.
What else is going on? The festival season is over,
yes.
And I've had a contrast in my life. You know, I like to, I go from the highs to the lows. I was up in front of the adoring masses on stage at the Jazz Fest, multiple stages, and this week, yesterday...
You played to four people.
Yesterday I was at a junkyard in New Orleans East, and the dump in Kenner on the same day.
What a day.
I had business at both of those. And, I had this thing. One of my cars, someone ran into it. It was a hit and run.
Oh.
And the person ran off. And that car is an older car, and I wasn't carrying a collision or comprehensive on it. I just had liability and uninsured motorist. So it was an uninsured. And since the guy split, it was like, oh, what am I going to do? You know, and I bring it into the body shop, and the guy's like, well, this is a $5,000 repair. I'm going, well, this isn't a $5,000 car, so what do you do? But then I had a, you know, kind of my poor person's history back in my brain. I was like, oh, let me see if a junkyard has two doors.
Pull apart, you know, yeah.
And so I found two doors in the junkyard for $200 a piece. And then I went to my local mechanic and I said, could you put these on? He goes, yeah, I'll do it for $150. I was like, okay.
Not $5,000.
Not $5,000.
Yeah.
So, went to the junkyard. And then then had to clear out one of my properties and haul it all out to the dump. So I'm keeping it real.
Okay, what?
Yeah, I don't know. I lost you a long time ago. Yeah, mainly talking to the guest here.
You bought two doors. Why don't you just fucking get a new car, man?
Because the car is a car that has been in my family. I know it's been well maintained. You know, for $500, I now have the car repaired, and you know, I can't buy a car that's of this quality.
Now, who drives this car?
Different kids of mine. You know, at different times.
Are kids that you know of?
Yeah. Yeah, kids who.
I know you have a lot of kids.
Grew up in my house. No, children that grew up in my house. Those are the only ones I know of. But
and other than the doors, the car is fine.
Yeah, the car is great. Yeah, okay. Car is solid. Yeah. Anyway, that was in my.
And then you took the car to the dump?
Well, no, that was a different.
You took your kids
activity.
To the dump.
I took my kids to the dump. One of my kids came to the dump.
Because you're too cheap for Disney World.
That's right.
You took him to the dump. Look at this kid.
Look, the junkyard was a big attraction too. When I said I was going to the junkyard, he's like, "Can I go?" I was like, "Sure, yeah."
I can't bring you to Jazz Fest, but the dump is open.
Yeah, that's right. If my mom comes, we get to go in for free.
Right.
She's got the Jefferson Parish driver's license, you know. She can sneak us through the door.
Worth every penny.
Right. Anyway, it's a little bit of excitement there in my life.
Today, now, how did you move these doors? You put them in your truck?
Put them in the back of the truck, yeah. They actually would have fit in the back of the CRV, the Honda CRV.
Now, wouldn't it have been cool just to drive around with no doors?
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, you probably could get away with it in New Orleans as far as not getting pulled over by the police, but I'm not sure how safe it would be, really.
Right.
It's a lot of wind, too. You know, I don't like that much breeze on me.
It's getting to be the time of year where you need AC, too.
Yeah. But, you know, if it was like if you were like a rural mailman, that might be a good design.
See the car that hit you?
I wasn't involved in it. No, they saw the car that hit, and the person was sitting there in the neutral ground. And they're like, "You see me, right?" I mean, their eyes met.
Yeah.
And then the person just came in anyway, ran straight into it.
Oh man.
Anyway, people are goofy, bad drivers. That's why you can't ride bikes in New Orleans. Motorcycles are a dicey proposition, because people will just run into you.
Fair.
You know. Anyway. The Diddy trial has been underway, Manny. Have you been following that at all?
No.
The testimony's been going on.
No, because I'm getting ready to be called.
Oh, okay. Yeah. As a witness.
Yeah.
Okay. No. You don't want to...
Those parties.
I can't say anything right now about the Diddy pile.
Okay. You're under a gag order?
Yeah, under a gag order. So I don't know anything about it. All I know is he's gone gray.
Yes.
I don't know if that's for sympathy or not, or is that just the oil working on his head? I don't know.
Yeah, I think maybe they don't...
Or maybe it's the cum shots. All the cum shots that went on his head turned white.
Well, he's in Rikers Island. I don't know if they give you access to hair dye there.
Well, yeah, I don't know. But it's curious. There was someone who testified today who said that she... she was part of many, 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 many things over mm-hmm. there. You know?
Okay.
But I'm not following it too much. Who cares?
All right, yeah.
You
yeah.
know, it's just like...
You know, the thing that caught my ear today in the news reportage was the four-day-long freak-offs. Like, 4 days.
4 days.
Jesus, man. I mean, a day is a long time.
Plenty.
2 days is really pushing it.
More than enough.
No. If you're in your 20s, man, I remember days in my 20s. You know, it was...
4 days
four
going?
4 days. Come on.
Fuck yeah, man.
Go ahead. My man.
Fucking, you know, smoke enough flaca or crack.
Okay.
You know, or some heroin.
Oh,
you know,
four days.
You can last it. There was what we call it. We used to call it the high heroin hard on. You could just fucking fuck on heroin,
but not
without coming.
Not for 4 days.
12 to 15 hours.
Sounds awful.
It's, it does sound.
Well, it pleases everybody.
I'm not sure about
all
that.
Off.
Who wants to get fucked for 12 to 15 hours?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Okay, well, it's a different culture out there on the West Coast back in
the
late '80s, early '90s. 90s.
Yeah, I'm a Midwestern boy.
Man. And then what happens is you last that long, the word gets around, and there's more females coming by. Out of the blue, you know?
Interesting.
Doing the pop-ins, as they say.
The pop-ins.
Yeah. For the dope
fans. Yeah, you know?
Okay, all right.
No, man, those were great days. Right. I could see it happening. Man.
Okay, all right. All right. I thought that was something there.
Yeah,
apparently,
same.
Apparently not. All right. Well, in other news, Pete Rose is being reinstated to baseball. Did
really?
You see that?
Is that true?
Well, that came out today, yeah.
Wow.
Well, they're going to reinstate him, but now they have to vote him.
Right. But that's the first step to make him eligible for voting.
But he's dead.
Well, sure, yeah. They waited till he died, you know. They had to twist the knife, you know.
Right, but first ballot, for sure, right?
Well, you would think that he would be, yeah. Also, they reinstated Shoeless Joe Jackson and the rest of the Black Sox.
Wow.
Did you see that?
No, come on. The Pope.
Yeah, well, maybe so,
Yeah, maybe.
All right, it's all coming together.
But, I mean, you know, the people don't understand it is that Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame, but all his records are.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Just him.
Okay.
Just the name Pete Rose, but like the guy who leads the league in career hits, Pete Rose.
Yeah. Uh-huh, right.
All that stuff's in the Hall of Fame.
Sure, yeah.
But
sure.
Just, he doesn't have his little bust, statuette.
Right.
Yeah. That's the only thing that's not in the Hall of Fame is that. But all his records and all everything he did.
Right,
yeah.
Right. They count.
Are in the Hall of Fame. So it's like. You know,
it's not as bad as it could have been.
But I heard before he died, he put a bet down.
That he was going to get back in.
Yeah, he was going to get back in. Yeah, so.
Well, I hope
he seemed like a good guy.
Yeah.
But I remember growing up as a Dodger fan going to see in the 70s the Reds and Dodgers play each other. And that was a huge rivalry.
Sure.
And Pete Rose was a left fielder then before he moved to first base later in his career. And man, the Dodger fans in the bleachers, man, they would throw sorts.
Batteries
and cigarette butts and beer on them.
Sure.
And he just stood there and took it.
Yeah.
Just stood there and took it.
Pro. You know? What a legend.
You know, and I guess he's a good guy. I don't know. He's a great switch hitter, though.
Sure. Know. Yeah, practice that his dad from an early age drilled him on being switch hitting.
So, but I'm sure, does he have any family, any kids? That's what I don't know.
I can't remember. You know, Keith O'Brien, our former guest,
he wrote
the book, Charlie Hustle. Yeah, I'm sure he's thrilled. I'm sure he's has a lot of thoughts on the subject.
I know. Now, Charlie Hustle was a guy who used to hang out at P. Diddy's place.
He had 4 days in him.
Yeah. Well, he hustled all right.
Yeah.
Leg it out.
Hustle here, hustle there.
Legged it out. Three-legged it out. He's a good guy. You know. Anyway, so that's about it. I don't know what else is going on.
Okay. Well,
unless you have more to talk about.
Oh, no.
I really
just
don't
one other item that crossed my view was, you know, this guy, RFK Jr., right?
He's
the Health and Human Services Secretary or whatever. He's a nut, right? He's a total nut. So something I didn't know about him is that he doesn't subscribe to germ theory.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning that, disease is caused by microorganisms.
Doesn't wash his hands.
And so recently he was photographed or filmed swimming along with his kids in sewage-tainted water.
The Hudson River?
I don't know where it was, somewhere up there. But he was saying, no, this is not a problem, man. That's
no issue.
Yeah, germs don't cause disease.
I'm not for it.
I'm glad he has a high position of power in the health structure there.
I can't believe that. What's her name? Married him from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, Cheryl.
I can't believe she married him. She just
The heart wants what
now,
it wants.
Now I wonder if he believes in condoms though.
Huh? He may not believe in sperm theory, you know. But well, you know, Irma Thomas said she had four kids before somebody explained to her where babies came from.
Come on,
yeah, I mean,
Irma.
She was a child, you know.
Yeah,
she was,
right.
I just didn't talk about those kind of things, I guess. But who knows with the now?
Well, I understand about condoms, you know, the way they advertise them and stuff. You know, the whole thing about it's got a reservoir.
Right. The tip. Know,
what's with the reservoir? It's just a little bubble where your stuff goes. You know?
Summer vacation. You yeah. can go, go down sure. by the reservoir.
Maybe P. Diddy. You know, maybe he had something to do with calling it the reservoir.
The reservoir. The res.
I don't know. It's you just know. The res. You know, the, back in the res.
The multi-ribbed reservoir.
Right,
know?
Right, right. Yeah. Well, they're always trying to come up with some language that will be persuasive, you know. It's
like,
it's
a, I'll never forget the time. This is years ago. I picked up, I had this date, and we went back to my place, and we were about to do it, and I pulled out this rubber. You know, and she goes, oh, these are good ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Well, that's good to know.
She had a lot of experience, huh?
Yeah, you had a lot of experience with the reservoir. And
sure.
Stuff like
yeah, she'd been comparing, yeah. comparing, yeah. Sampling. Yeah, yeah.
yeah. All right, that girl is Cheryl Hines.
Okay, there you go. All right, it all
doesn't
comes
believe
full,
in germ theory.
Comes
yeah,
full circle.
Yeah. But listen, I got Sim something to talk about because I think you'll dig this.
Okay. Okay.
What's your name again?
I'm Charlie.
Charlie.
Charlie yes, Howard.
Charlie.
Haven't introduced him yet, but letting the cat out of the bag.
I heard this story.
Yeah.
At this old folks' home, there was these three guys talking at this old folks' home. And the first guy's like, man, I would do anything just to have a healthy number one. It's just drips and drips and drips. It's just horrible.
Yeah.
It's a horrible thing. And the other old guy goes, ah, what are you talking about, man? I would do anything to have a healthy number two. You know? I haven't had one in weeks.
Oof.
And the third old man says, well, you know what? Every morning at 7:30, I got a number one that's like the Cooley Dam, man. It's just
yeah.
And then at 7:45, I got a number two that's Mount St. Helens. And the other two guys go, what the fuck are you complaining about? He goes, well, I don't get up till 9.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
That's a bad way to start the day.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's no good.
Not good. Not good. You know, that's right. The way I'm feeling lately.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know. I'm always looking for the healthy, but it never seems to happen.
Right. That's the germs. The germ theory is real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should get to our guest here.
Okay.
It seems to be the way we close out the opening segment every time now. It's a lot of bathroom stuff, but okay. There we go. Keeping it running. Well, we have a fantastic guest tonight. I've been trying to get him on for a while. We're persistent, if nothing else. He's a Grammy-winning trombone.
He's going to cut out that joke.
Yeah.
I know he will.
Okay.
No, I'm not. No.
That was a joke?
Yeah, I know. You laughed.
I thought you knew that guy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I thought you were that guy.
Oh, right.
Okay,
right.
We're all that guy. He's a Grammy-winning trombone player, singer, arranger, band leader of his own group, the Tropicales. It's a 1960s-style Caribbean lounge band. They play all over town. He also plays in many other groups, such as Panorama Jazz Band, the Palmetto Bug Stompers, Tuba Skinny, Preservation Hall Band, Mashiach Lake and the Little Bighorns. On and on. John Cleary, Anders Osborne. He's also a member of the Squirrel Nut Zippers for several years, going back in the 2000s. He's recorded with all kind of people, U2, Ricky Lee Jones, Maria Muldaur, John Boutte. He's also a fixture on Frenchman Street. You can catch him there three or four nights a week. Anyway, we're going to get into all that and much more, but without further ado, the great Mr. Charlie Halloran. Welcome, Charlie.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. Yes.
Did I mention the name of your band, the Tropicales?
That's
okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I like it to be kind of, I'll take any pronunciation.
How would you say?
I say Tropicales.
Okay.
Because my Spanish isn't very good.
Uh-huh.
But
so people say Tropicales
sure,
or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Correct.
Sure. Anyway, so you've played a lot of traditional jazz gigs around New Orleans and all these different bands. Now you have this terrific band that plays a lot of Beguines and Calypso music.
Yeah.
And you guys are really coming into your own now.
I've been leaning into that since COVID, 4 years now.
Right.
That's
kind of been my main
push.
It's paying off. It's paying off.
I hope so. Thank you.
The band's terrific. Well, let's get some background on you.
Yeah.
You're not from New Orleans.
I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay. Well, that's a cool town, huh?
It's a cool town, good music town. There's not a lot of trombone not a lot of need for trombone players in St. Louis.
Unlike New Orleans, we've commented many times on, well, we've had a lot of trombone players on the show, first of all.
We're available.
You seemingly not. In fact, I think, are you taking a night off tonight from one of your gigs?
I subbed something out, and it's worth it.
God bless you, man. Yes. I appreciate that.
Glad to be here.
I like that. I like the commitment to the Troubled Men podcast, Charlie.
That's right. Dedicated.
Yes, but I've often commented on how in any other town, well, you know, there's a joke about the trombone player and the frog. I'm sure you know that joke.
I don't know.
You'll love this one.
Okay.
So the difference between a trombone player walking down the road and a frog walking down the road is the frog is on his way to a gig.
Yeah, come on.
But now that's really funny if you know about frog gigging. You know that that's a word. It's hunting for frogs.
Down in Belches.
Gigging for
frogs. I'm in.
Now, my wife thought that joke was funny even without knowing about frog gigging.
Just because trombone players don't have gigs.
A frog was more likely to have a job. But that joke is not true in New Orleans.
No, luckily.
And
right.
Because not only are there so many bands with trombone players, there are so many bands led by trombone players. I mean, there must be like 6 or 7 trombone player led bands in New Orleans.
Definitely.
Right?
No, without a doubt. Glenn David Andrews, George Brown, Corey Henry, Bonorama.
Oh, man. Yeah, you're naming
Funk
people.
Funk Monkey.
Yeah, for sure. On and on.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is one of those towns that where the instrument is still very respected and, you know, it flourishes.
That was, I was listening to New Orleans music as a kid. So it was, you know, from a pretty early age, it was moved to New Orleans was the plan.
Okay, well, let's go back. So you're in St. Louis, and they do have a somewhat of a jazz tradition, although it's time has passed, you know.
How old are you?
I'm 41.
All right, so you're just a kid.
I'm just a kid.
Yeah.
But, so...
You like the hockey team in St. Louis? It's a good hockey team.
My uncle, my dad's sister's husband, Hal Dean, was the owner of the Blues.
Really?
From in the late 70s, so before I was born. But in the late 70s, they were going to leave town. He was the CEO of Ralston Purina. And he bought the team and said it can't be a New Orleans Jazz, Utah Jazz situation.
Okay.
Obviously, this is before that happened, I think.
Yeah.
But the St. Louis Blues can't leave St. Louis. So my uncle bought that team in the 70s and owned it for a few years.
And he's still in the pet food business?
I mean, he's passed now.
Right. Uh-huh.
But so I got to go to Blues games as a kid.
Excellent.
And definitely. Yeah.
And they were all right back then.
A baseball guy, too, so I never really cared about the Blues. But cool that I got to go in the Brett Hull days.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's excellent.
Definitely.
Now, are you still in the pet food business, your family?
I've moved over from the Ralston to wellness now. I get the expensive dog food now.
Oh, I got you. Okay. The science.
Yes,
stuff.
That's right.
Yeah,
science diet stuff. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Because hockey's a great sport live.
Yes.
It's not great on TV. At least back then it wasn't great, but now it's a little better.
I don't follow it live. Yeah.
You don't follow it?
No, baseball, pretty much it.
Yeah, and your Cardinals aren't doing so great.
Nah, they haven't for years now. But my whole life until like 3 years ago, they were great. So I'm spoiled.
Yeah, okay, well, good.
So growing up there in St. Louis, you're playing in the school band, playing trombone?
Not particularly. I started in middle school or grade school, fourth grade when you start.
Uh-huh.
I went to a real small high school that didn't have a football team, didn't have a marching band. They got a band together when I was in high school, but it was, you know, 10 people, 11 people.
Right.
It wasn't a jazz band or anything like that.
Okay, but you were taking private lessons or something?
Not even. I have older brothers who are musicians.
Oh, no kidding.
And so I was playing in bars with their band. My closest sibling is 8 years older. So when I was 14, he was, you know, 22.
You the youngest?
No, I'm the youngest of 5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So they kind of raised you a little bit.
Exactly. So it was, you know, from, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, it was my older brothers being, listen to this, check this out, learn how to play this.
And what kind of bands were those?
Mostly ska bands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So were they horn players?
A guitar player and a drummer.
Okay. But you played trombone?
And I played trombone. So my...
Fits in with ska.
Funny story. So my dad had bought a trombone, or my brother, my closest sibling, had bought my dad a trombone.
Your father plays music?
No,
but
he was a huge Preservation Hall fan.
Ah.
He loved the Preservation Hall band, so he would tie on a few drinks and then play along with Preservation Hall records. was his thing. He liked Louis Armstrong and the Preservation Hall Band.
Okay.
So there was a trombone in the house. My parents bought my...
Were there pets in the house?
A dog.
Okay.
We got the free dog food.
Oh, I bet you did. Yeah.
One brother played drums, one brother played guitar. When it was time for me to start playing music, they weren't going to buy a third instrument. So there was a trombone in the house. I mean, it was that. That's all it was.
So you said ska, so what were their influences?
This is the mid-90s, ska was popular. But they particularly, and I'm thankful for this, they liked Desmond Dekker. They liked the Skylights.
They liked the early stuff.
They liked the early shit.
Okay.
And I, you know...
Ska was more popular back in the early 80s. I don't remember it being popular in the 90s.
It had a huge thing in the 90s.
Oh, really?
That I didn't particularly love at the time.
Yeah.
It's fine, you know. And it's not like I didn't have any of those records, but I wasn't a Mighty Mighty Boss Tones fan or a Real Big Fish fan. Like, I was listening to Alton Ellis when I was 11. which is weird. I went and saw the Skylights in... 7th grade, 6th grade.
Cool.
And it was the original with Tommy McCook and Roland Alfonso. And
I saw the English Beat in 1980.
So my older sisters, I honestly don't know how much older than me they are, but they're graduating high school in the late 80s, early 90s. And so that was, they're listening to the English Beat and the Specials. And
right. I saw the English Beat in 1980.
Awesome.
And it was the craziest show because... For some reason, the promoter decided to have this band that no one ever heard of open for them called REM.
No way. Where is this? Is this
the country club out in Reseda, California.
Okay.
It's a valley club. And all these mods, and it was an unannounced show.
Sure.
So the modsters all heard about it, and everyone went there and tried to get in. It was packed.
Yeah.
Everyone's waiting for English Beat.
Yeah.
And this band, REM, comes out to open. And within like 1-2 songs, they're booed off the stage.
No way.
Yeah.
Of course they were.
6 months later, they explode. Whatever. But anyway, that's my English Beat.
I rode my scooter here, and I want to hear
Ranking
Roger.
Yeah, I want to hear.
Get out of the way. Hurry up.
Well, so you're there playing from a young age.
Yeah.
You wind up, it's very interesting. Now that you say that, it makes perfect sense.
It kind of all adds up.
Who's been on the bandstand since they were
I'm 15. Like, I definitely remember being driven to a bar like this, driven because I couldn't drive yet to play.
Okay, well, that must have been
Rock City Reggae.
Cool.
15 years
when
old.
You're like going to high school the next day. Now, did that get you some status among your peers?
For sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Girls look at you a different way.
It didn't hurt.
Right.
It didn't hurt. No, I mean, there's photos of me in my high school yearbook of me at the Snake and Jakes of St. Louis.
Okay.
Frederick's Music Lounge, for sure. And when I turned 21 there, 7 years later, they're like, what? You haven't been 20. Like, how old are you?
Right.
I've been playing here for 8 years before I'm 21.
Drinking, though, as a young kid?
Not a lot. I'd have a Stag. I'd have a Schlitz. But I wasn't partying. I was in goody-two-shoes for the most part.
Okay.
Yeah.
You needed to be. You don't need to
Yeah, were you driven to school?
I mean...
You were driven to the gigs.
I was driven to the gig. I mean, once I turned 16, I had a Volkswagen. I had a 73 Volkswagen Beetle.
Nice.
And then that got smashed. Truck ran a light and smashed it. And then
did Renee repair it for you?
We went to the dump in Kenner.
The junkyard in New Orleans.
The same thing. I got a Vespa. I got a 68 50cc Vespa after that.
That's sweet, yeah.
So I was riding my scooter around, listening to the English
Beat. Now, how hard is it to travel with a trombone on a scooter?
You wear it on your back, no problem.
You just wear it on your back.
Easy.
Okay, all right. I don't know.
So what point do you start getting into like traditional jazz? Are you simultaneously?
Pretty much simultaneously, yeah. So my dad is saying, check out this record from Louis Armstrong plays W.C. Handy, or this Preservation Hall record from the 70s, or this Olympia Brass Band record. Hmm. My parents went and saw the Eureka Band in St. Louis in the 60s on a date. So my dad was into New Orleans music.
Okay.
He wasn't, he didn't know the name of everybody on the records or anything. He wasn't a collector, but that is the music he's listening to.
Louis Armstrong. Come down here at all?
He came down here on his way to visit his brother, and he had a layover in New Orleans on his way to Honduras, and he picked up the Red Preservation Hall album at the airport because he thought it looked cool. He got to Honduras, and his brother.
So your uncle's in Honduras in prison?
As a priest.
Oh, he's
like
a
one
priest.
Of those cool priests in the 60s in Latin America. Weird.
A Jesuit?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Liberation theology.
Big time.
Oh, wow.
So he gets down there, and somebody, one of the other priests with my uncle, oh, man, this is Big Jim Robinson on this. This is the Humphrey Brothers on this. Like, where did you find this? So that guy, that priest, turned my dad onto this record you picked up randomly because you like the cover. It's cool as shit. So my dad, from the 60s on, he had already been a Louis Armstrong fan. He snuck in to see Louis Armstrong at the St. Louis Country Club in 64, right after Hello, Dolly! Came
out.
So he was into it already, but then he got turned on to New Orleans music. So the records in the house were Preservation Hall records, Louis Armstrong records. There was some swing, you know, Glenn Miller and that kind of stuff. Or
Jack Teagarden.
Yeah, of course, Jack Teagarden and Alton Ellis, early Bob Marley.
Right.
You know, Desmond Dekker, right. Rocksteady, ska, Scatolites records. That's kind of all.
Now, what
I
happened
heard.
With your uncle, the priest?
He left the priesthood.
Really?
He moved to Puerto Rico.
With P. Diddy, right?
Yeah, my Aunt Maria is lovely, and now I have a bunch of cousins who speak Spanish as their first language in Miami. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, very nice. Guess.
Yeah,
nice.
But he's probably in the CIA. Like, there's
sure,
like nobody
he's
really
still
knows.
Alive?
He's still alive, yeah.
Oh, and where does he live
he
now?
He lives in Tallahassee.
God, really?
Yeah. A lot of those agency guys wind up there in retirement. You know?
Right.
There's no property tax, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So all during this time, you already had in mind that you wanted to move to New Orleans?
Pretty much. I mean, I visited New Orleans for the first time in high school. That band that the school started in my junior year, we came down here and played at the
Loyola,
right across from the from the Fairmont, from the, what is that theater right there?
Oh, the Orpheum.
We played the Orpheum at some like band competition.
Oh, okay.
And then I went to college in St. Louis, and then it was from my freshman year on, spring break, anytime I could get away for 4 days, drive down to New Orleans, sleep in my car, go listen
and
to
what
go
years,
to Donna's.
What years was this?
This is 2002.
Okay.
Through, you know, Katrina. By 2004, 2005, I'm planning to move here.
Uh-huh.
As soon as I get out of school, basically. Katrina hits, and Jeremy Davenport brings his full band back to St. Louis. So he's playing at a, you know, kind of swank, bougie bar with Thaddeus Richard, piano player with Wings in Preservation Hall, Bunchy Johnson, Fats Domino's drummer. Nobu Ozaki, Jesse Boyd, a handful of other sidemen. But so I'm hanging out with these guys. Jeremy stayed at a different housing than the rest of the band. So I would drive the band around to get groceries and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And they're saying, you should move to New Orleans. You should move to New Orleans. So I didn't come in 2006 when I graduated college because I just didn't know what the city was like after Katrina.
So I went away to
graduate school. But, you know, from 2004, the plan is to move here.
Okay.
Actively coming down.
So then you wind up coming down here a few years
later. I get here
in
2008.
All right.
Yeah. But I came knowing the guys in Jeremy's band. Mm-hmm. I came knowing Wendell. I mean, not well, but I know who Wendell is. I know where Donna's is. I kind of knew the lay of the land a little bit.
Right.
Craig Klein, I had met.
Okay.
Rick Trollson, I had met.
Right, you know, right. So well, I'm sure, you know, musicians in New Orleans are so welcoming, especially to somebody who really respects the music and comes in, you
Thank
know.
Thank goodness. Yeah, for sure.
And so I'm sure probably in about a week of you getting introduced and sitting in with people, your calendar is starting to fill up.
Literally. I busked in Jackson Square for about a week. I was busking with a very young John Michael Bradford and Glenn David Andrews. And then I started playing with the Panorama Jazz Band a week after living here.
Nice.
So, yeah, I picked up my first weekly Spotted Cat gig on, like, day six living in New Orleans. And then same thing. I met up with St. Louis Slim, who I never knew in St. Louis but met him here. And he had, you know, pretty steady work at DBA. And so I fell in quick. And Bonorama was touring a lot then, too.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of empty trombone.
Oh, right.
Gigs.
You needed Craig needed subs for all of his trad gigs, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, so you're here for a while. You're playing that Frenchman scene. I guess maybe is that where you meet Dr. Sick? I'm trying to figure out because I know you wind up maybe right about that year, right at the next year is when Jimbo Mathis kind of reforms the Squirrel Nut Zippers.
So I meet Jimbo. Well, I met Jimbo in St. Louis.
Oh, no kidding.
And when I was in college, you know, wasn't a situation where I might join the band. But I met Jimbo, you know, 2002, probably.
The Huck Finn of American music.
Very much so. One of my best friends. I love that guy. Then I was hosting Pokey LaFarge, who's a blues and Americana singer. He moved to St. Louis right when I moved away. So we didn't overlap in St. Louis, but we had all the same kind of mutual friends. He came down for Mardi Gras 2009, my first Mardi Gras. And I was hanging out with him a ton. I saw Jimbo I was playing on a Mardi Gras float, and I saw Jimbo watching the parade.
Okay.
The parade stalled. I jumped off the float and ran over to him and introduced myself. Hey, glad to meet you. I met you however many years ago. Big fan of the band. You're the coolest. Holy shit. Then I get back on the float, finish the parade. I call Pokey. Pokey, I just met Jimbo Mathis. They had made some records together already. So Pokey called Jimbo, said, hey, man, that guy that met you at the parade today, you should put him on.
Wow.
Exchanged my number, and like 3 days later, got a phone call from Runless Zippers Management. We heard you met Jimbo. We heard you play trombone. We need a horn player to go on the tour with the band. They never heard me play.
That's crazy, man. Just like the yeah. impulse to jump off and make this connection.
Totally.
You know, it's like, I've brought this up before, this idea of the secret, you know, like that stupid thing that was popular. But and it was like, oh, it's ridiculous because the mysticism. But the non-mystical part of it is that.
Just
is
go
like,
introduce yourself just, and say just, hello.
Yeah. Be into something, have some energy behind it.
For sure.
You know,
for sure.
It really works.
They took me. I did a one tour kind of tryout.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool because it was more of the original band. I mean, it wasn't just Jimbo. It was Jimbo. Uh-huh. It was Jay Widenhouse, the trumpet player from the third record on. It was the original bass player from the second record on. So it was some of the guys on those records from the 90s that blew up. So I, you know, I'd been listening to them since I was a kid, since those records came out. I had those records when they were new.
Yeah, well, that must have been a perfect gig for you.
100%.
Because you had all these anachronistic tendencies as musical tastes.
I knew the songs, and I knew Jimbo in the Knockdown South records. You know, like I knew the rest of his book for the most part. Catherine Whalen was still in the group. Uh-huh. I knew her records as well. So, you know, I fell in pretty hard with him right away.
Were you still living in your car at that time?
I was living in a very crummy house on Alvar.
Oh,
no, that's not true. I was living in the Alamo on Crete. Did anyone ever hang there at the Alamo? Yeah, I think it was the place to score drugs in the.
Might have been after my time.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I know what I was going to say before is at the time that you were moving to New Orleans, there was a huge influx of new musicians
for
one reason and another. I mean, we got a lot of people coming in, a lot of do-gooders who came in post Katrina.
Right.
Some of them were musicians, some were just opportunists, but then a lot of people came in through the UNO jazz program, you know, that Ellis had started and then Steve Mazakowski had taken over. And it kind of just started this conveyor belt of younger guys from other places who would come here and forget where they came from.
That Frenchman Street scene and that kind of transplant trad jazz scene, I didn't know that existed. I did not move here to be a part of that.
Right.
I was like, I can maybe play at Preservation Hall once a month and I can get a normal job. And because the people I knew were Thaddeus Richard and Bunchy Johnson, and they were these older guys, and they're not playing the spot again four nights a week. You know, I had no idea that scene was here. Busking in the corridor and on Royal Street, I quickly met the Tuba Skinny people, the Loose Marbles people, Mashiach Lake. But that was not. Like, those people moved here a year before me, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they'd been here a long time.
But it's, like, kind of perfect timing.
100%.
Because all those people in your age group, you know, those are all peers.
We all fell in. You know, the Tuba Skinny, the Loose Marbles band kind of dissolved and became Mashiach Lake and Tuba Skinny separately. So those two groups kind of started at the same time, 2008, summer 2008.
And that's it's not unrelated aesthetically to the Squirrel Nut Zippers
not
thing.
At all.
You know, you know, kind of circus freak.
Exactly right.
Vibe to it.
Exactly right. Yeah, so I fell in with the Zippers then. I mean, my first year here. Toured with them real hard for a year, and then Catherine quit. And so Jimbo broke the band up.
Why'd she quit?
Her kid was, I think, starting grade school.
Oh, okay.
Just can't be on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Parenting is the most important thing.
Yeah.
It's funny. A lot of musicians I know, you know, they're before they have children, they're so ambitious and music, and this is the most important thing. And then you have a kid, and a month later, like, what? Music? Who fucking cares?
Who cares? Sure.
I mean, if you don't feel that way, it could be a problem for your kid.
Yeah, that's an issue.
You know? It's
fair.
Was it all someone would imagine the squirrel nut zippers on the road being? I mean, was the
it was fun. I mean,
sideshow vibe.
Yeah,
going
definitely. You know, they're kind of country. They're kind of ratchet. Jimbo's it's Jimbo. You know, like it was the best. It wasn't a bus. It was a van. Sometimes a van and a station wagon.
Right.
But you know, rolling through the night, I had done a handful of tours with this rock and roll group called The Walkmen.
Okay.
Right before that, and they were playing bigger venues than the Zippers, but it was a rock and roll gig, and it wasn't something that they weren't going to take me out all the time. So, getting the chance to play in the Squirrel Nut Zippers, who I'd been listening to since, you know, they started, and, you know, horn section, that's a horn section dream.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, it was the perfect fit.
Nice.
The money was good. It was a wild way to start my touring life was, you know, the first tour I ever went on was sold out show at the Fillmore.
Hell yeah, man.
Exactly. And then the second tour I ever went on was Squirrel Nut Zippers playing to pretty big houses, you know.
Man, getting spoiled there.
So it makes it hard to then go, okay, now we're going to get in my CRV and we're going to go play for literally no money.
You're going to sleep on somebody's floor.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Exactly. So I had a blessed beginning
right.
to that.
Nice. Well, Manny, it seems like a good time looking at my drink and clock. Why don't you tell the people?
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
With Mr. Manny Chevrolet. I am Renee Coman, back with our guest, Mr. Charlie Halloran. Now, Charlie, I know you've heard a few of these podcasts, so
yes.
you're familiar with the fact that this is a listener-supported operation, and you know, we have listeners use our PayPal and Venmo links, which appear in the show notes of every show, as well as the Facebook page, and they'll support us, they'll buy cocktails, help us to defray our podcast hosting costs and cool. These composition books that we use. this week, a longtime listener and previous supporter and good friend, also former guest, the great Michael Skinkus.
Bought us
a round of drinks. So thank you very much, Michael. And Michael, I played a couple of terrific Jazz Fest gigs with Michael. He played on the Blues Tent set with John Mooney and played congas with us. And then we also, Michael and I, played on the Ed Volker, Dave Malone.
Okay.
Thing. What kind of name is Skinkus?
I'm not sure. We had him on the podcast.
Norwegian?
It might be Greek.
Maybe it's Greek.
Yeah.
Polish.
It's Greek to me. We'll have to ask Michael, have him back on the show and ask him about that.
Cheers, Michael. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Michael. And be like Michael and support the podcast using those links. Also, we have a link for the Patreon page. We have a handful of patrons supporting us week in and week out. Also, we have the link there for the Troublemen podcast T-shirts, which are available in many colors and all the sizes, ladies and men's design. Also, follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook. And
do you think you got teased a lot as a kid with that last name?
I would guess so.
Yeah.
I would think so.
I would think
it's
so.
It's a character building thing, you know? It's
definitely.
Like with the name Renee, you think I got teased a lot? Yeah, of course. And plus, just the way I act would have been enough. I had it coming. let's face it. I was asking for it. I still am. Anyway, I was saying, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to it. Give us 5 stars. Cost you nothing. Helps us a lot. Nobody rates us anymore.
Oh,
anyway,
no.
Anyway, people should do that.
Let's go.
Let's go. Okay.
3 more this week.
All right.
Come on.
There would be 3 more than last week, that's for sure. Anyway, what else? So if you're, I'm going out and playing some Iguanas dates, you can see those.
When are you leaving?
I'm actually leaving tomorrow.
Good.
I'm playing in Washington, D.C. at the Hamilton. I'm sure you've played there.
Sure.
Great club there, right downtown, right down the street from Ford's Theater.
Right. Look out.
Yeah, look out. And then playing in Norfolk, Virginia the next night, and then coming right back. I'm playing here at Chickiwawa on Saturday night with the great Layla Musselwhite.
Sure.
But yeah, you can find all my dates there and the link to Renee Coman Facebook page. Well, Charlie Halloran, since we're talking about dates, you have dates coming up. You have the Tropicals website.
Yes. Well, just under Charlie Halloran.
CharlieHalloran.com.
I was available.
Nice. I was there today. It's beautifully designed.
Thank you.
Very
thank
comprehensive.
You.
It's everything was functional.
I'll take it. It's not
so,
easy.
Yeah. So we'll have the links to all of Charlie's important web pages in the show notes of this show, and that's enough of that. So let's get back to Charlie and talking about his life. So you're talking about being out there with the Squirrel Nut Zippers. So you're saying the original singer left to go parent her, and so was that the end of your tenure in that band?
Right. So Catherine Bales. And then that
were you involved in the infamous airport incident? We don't have to relitigate that.
I don't even know about it.
Oh, okay. All right.
I guess
well,
not.
Well, listen to Dr.
Oh,
Six
you know
episode.
What? I do know. I do know. No,
of course
so,
you do.
Okay, yes.
We don't
right.
have to. We don't have to. Well trodden ground.
Yeah,
so
fair.
We don't need to,
I was not. I was not there for that. I was on the phone. I know all. I was there in real time.
You had moved on. You were playing in other groups here,
right? So So the Squirrel Nut Zippers break up 2010, probably. Mm-hmm. I dive all into being just local trombone ringer.
Okay.
So fall into 4 or 5 weekly gigs.
And
on Frenchman Street.
Yeah. So you have a good personality. You have a beautiful sound on the horn. You're diligent.
Happy to learn tunes.
Right.
Read
right.
music. Put me in.
There
I'm
you
ready
go.
For
there
it.
There you
yeah.
go. You've been preparing this
Let's
for
go.
This for your entire
exactly.
Since you're 10 years old.
I know songs.
Right,
I can
right,
learn
right.
new songs.
Now,
I'm ready to go.
And you know, I like that. I've had this conversation with Delphio Marcellus before about because he's someone who knows what a trombone is supposed to sound
absolutely
like.
He
likes
does.
To get a
does he?
A pretty sound on the horn. Not everybody and not every trombone player in New Orleans subscribes to that approach.
That's
you got
true.
A lot of people that overblow and
right.
want to blow their brains out. Now, Delphio will when I bring this up to him, he doesn't want to be critical. He wants to defend everyone. And
to be fair, if I had the physical ability to play as loud as a lot of New Orleans trombone players play, I would do it.
Well,
I don't have that ability to do it, but I can play quietly, and I've been able to carve out some work,
you know,
as a trombone player that can play quietly, which there aren't a lot of trombone players that can do that.
And,
honestly,
and get a nice sound. I mean, trombone sound has like a cello sound, at times.
Yes.
You know, it's
a
beautiful,
same range,
warm, round.
Now, what about this
tone.
Guy, Shorty?
He's pretty good.
Yeah, you like
he's pretty
him.
Good.
He's
I
an
do.
Excellent musician.
Shorty and I were MySpace friends when we were both 17.
Yeah,
so he's not that short, is he?
He's taller than me.
Yeah,
he started off when he was 4. So.
Right, he's got the
he was short
few
then.
Years head start.
Now
on
your
me.
Father,
he sounds
he's
pretty
still
good.
Alive. Your father.
Yep.
Nice. Now, yeah, does he appreciates the music you're playing?
I think so. I hope so. He has a Pandora channel under my name. He'll write me every few weeks.
He must be very proud.
What does that mean, Pandora channel?
It's, you know, internet radio.
Oh, okay.
Where they play music that sounds like me.
I see. Yeah. So he plays your music.
He plays my music.
Your music and stuff that sounds like something you would have done, even if it's not
100%.
And your mom is still alive?
Yep, they're both still alive, both in St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
Still married?
Yeah, still married.
Getting those what a pet blessing. Food
I know.
Residuals.
That's like I said,
right?
Midwest.
Yeah.
Midwest.
Yeah.
I'm very Midwest.
Okay.
Could be worse.
Yeah.
You kind of look, you know who you look like to me? Like a young Hunter S. Thompson.
I'll take that.
You look like that.
I'll take that. I could see that.
Bald and glasses.
Yeah. All you need is the big cigarette.
Got the twinkle in his eye. Yeah, sure. If he had the cigarette holder.
Are you a gun owner?
No way. Not me.
Me. So we'll take that. You're not a Hunter
S. No. He's cooler than me.
Yeah.
You're more alive though.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
So you're playing in a ton of bands. At what point do you start think? Well, so you start making solo records pretty early in this whole.
A trip back to St. Louis. I meet up with the teacher I studied with in college there, and he says you should put out a record under your own name just so you can have some control of. Some of the music that has your name on it. So I put out a traditional jazz record. I never really had a traditional jazz band, but I put out a record with Tim Lachlan and Charlie Fardella and some Princeton Street players, mostly people that had been living here or from here. Put that out together, and then a year or two later is when I kind of really dive into the more Caribbean stuff and put out our first Tropicals record in 2019. And then that gets picked up by a label in 2021.
Okay.
And then I've been only releasing, you know, more Caribbean stuff since then. But I put out my first record in 2016, I think. 15
nice.
Or 16? Yeah.
Nice. And, so you're, just to jump forward here, meant to mention at the top, the latest Tropicals record just came out last year, Jump Up.
Yes.
That's on New Tone Recordings.
New Tone Recordings, yeah.
Now, do you know what New Tone is? So, I don't know if
this is
a reference to this or not.
Okay.
But I grew up in this house in Algiers that my parents bought when I was five. We moved over there. And it was an all-electric kitchen.
Okay.
And all the appliances had this... They were by New Tone.
New Tone. I've never heard this.
And it was spelled the same way, this N-U capital T-O-N-E.
Right.
And I saw that. I was like, I wonder if that's like a 1970s suburban reference.
It probably is. The label is based out of Freehold, New Jersey. It's a couple, Vincent and Magda. They have a surf rock label called High Tide. Shake the Rum, the record we did in 2019. That is on... High Tide Recordings, which is a surf rock label. So they put out almost exclusively kind of, you know, guitar-driven surf rock. And then they started the New Tone Records so that they could branch out from guitar music. And then they put our next record out on the New Tone label. But that's their MO, is kind of 1970s vintage. So I suspect that's intentional.
Interesting. Yeah, it just caught my eye. I mean, I wrote it down. I was like, oh, wait a second. It was like jogging my...
Sure. And I just moved from Algiers a year ago. I lived over there for 10 years.
Yeah.
In the point. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I never say that I lived over there. I say that my parents moved there. And then, I didn't have a choice.
Gotcha.
It was the day I moved back to the East Bank was a very... One of my happiest days of my life.
Same.
You too.
I could agree. Now, I agree.
Now, people live in, Susan Cowsill and Russ Roussard live in Algiers Point.
I was three doors down from them.
Beautiful over there. Yeah. I love it. It's New Orleans-style housing. You're right there by the river. It's but I just hate the bridge. I hate the traffic. I hate, having to run the gauntlet back over there.
Strong agree.
If I'm coming from the Bywater and I have to get to Uptown, it's a long drive.
That's a haul.
But there's back roads. I can go the whole way.
I don't have
to get on that bridge and run the gauntlet.
My vet and my dentist and all that is still over there. So I'm over there more often than your typical East Banker.
You guys know nothing about fucking long trips. I'm from Los Angeles.
Right.
Yeah,
we're talking 20 minutes.
We're spoiled here.
Yeah, you guys are spoiled.
For sure. Now, let's see. I had a bunch of things. Well, one thing that's coming up, and I just was texting with our host today, is that we're both going to the Big Island yes. Jazz and Blues Festival
I'm
in
so
just
ready.
A couple of weeks, man. It's, yes. That's May 30th through June 1st there at the Mauna Kea Beach Resort Hotel.
Take me there. I'm so stoked.
It's the Iguanas have done it. Maybe for 10 years on and off with Kenny.
Yeah.
The property is amazing. You know, Hawaii is amazing. And the hang is really cool, man. Like, this is going to be such a fun group of people.
You know, I'm
the Iguanas,
stoked.
Wayne Toops, Len
yes.
Drury,
Sun Pie, yeah.
Camille Beaudoin from the yep. Radiators. Yep. It's going to be a blast.
I'm Doug Garrison, drummer
yes.
in the Iguanas, drummer in my band, the Tropicals.
Has played in the Tropicals
yep.
since the beginning.
Since the beginning, right, yeah, right, yeah. Right. He has been hyping me to this gig for probably the full 10 years you guys have been going. I mean, I've been knowing this gig, and he introduced me to Kenny pretty early on.
Nice.
So I've been kind of bugging
okay.
Kenny's ear since
okay.
the beginning of, hey, you want to come to Jazz Fest? You want
to? It took longer than Jimbo Mathis, but you know, again,
yeah.
Persistence does pay
yes,
off.
Yes, I'm going to keep leaning
so
on this.
So you're going to be joining the senior circuit, basically.
I'm an Iguanas fan, so yeah, I am stoked. I am
God
stoked to
you.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll be doing a lot of playing together.
I hope so. Yeah,
and,
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. So the Tropicals are playing. You guys played all kind of Jazz Fest dates. I was looking at your Jazz
yeah.
Fest calendar, and not only do you play, you have several of your own bands, multiple bands of yours, and you play in all these other bands, and then you show up in all these other things like Joy Clark.
Right.
And
sure.
It's so cool, man.
I mean, I love being a sideman. I'm a better sideman than a band leader.
Me too. It's
yeah,
my favorite
by
thing.
By a lot. I am much better at answering the phone and learning your song and showing up. There's songs that I want to play, and I'm only going to get to play those if I book the gig. But otherwise, I'm better at learning somebody else's music and showing up. That's my strength, for sure.
It really is the best
100% that song. I want to be a sideman. Like, that's
yes.
me. That is exactly me.
Well, my father was a band leader his whole life.
Right.
And I watched
Pass.
Him do it, and I understand what it takes. And I thought, no.
It's so hard. I am not good at it. I'm trying, and I want to be better at it. I'm working on it, but I'm a pretty good sideman. I'm happy to do it. I did 10 sets at the fairgrounds.
Crazy, man.
Then, yeah, every day. I love it. I love Jazz Fest.
I was telling somebody about how I had 2 days where I didn't have a gig at the festival, and I didn't have a gig that night.
What?
And I had I know. It just worked out that way.
Yeah.
But therefore, I was able to go as a fan and
sure.
hang out all day long.
Sure, sure, sure.
And how had I had a gig that any one of those nights,
no way.
I couldn't do that.
No
and
way.
And I was telling this to my sister-in-law. She's like, but you played 2 sets during the day and then went and played a nighttime gig. I'm like, that is so much easier, man.
Way easier.
That's what I do.
Way
you know?
Easier.
I drive
my
there
sleep.
In my car.
Yeah.
I get picked up in the van. They drive me to the stage. I play a set, which I do again.
There's free waters and I can
energy.
Go to OZ and get coffee.
That doesn't make me tired.
No,
that
not
makes
at all.
Me energized.
1,000%.
Go do another one, go to my car, and I can play a nighttime gig. If I had to walk around the track and see bands out in the heat for
Forget
4
it.
Hours.
Forget it.
Yeah. No.
I've never been to Jazz Fest as a spectator.
Yeah.
Never. I love Jazz Fest.
Right.
Again, I say that as
because you don't
I've
have any nights
there.
Off. Yeah, yeah.
No, definitely not. I just had this past weekend off, 3 days off in a row,
right.
and it was divine.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing. But that said, I love Jazz Fest. I love going as, you know, playing my set and then staying all day. Like,
and,
I'm in.
And obviously, you love playing the horn. You love being on the bandstand.
For sure.
I yeah. know. You know, I have a friend who he has a huge record collection. He's always getting new music and
yeah.
always getting a better version of music that we've been listening to for 50 years.
Yeah,
you
right,
know,
right, right.
you get a higher resolution, a new remastering. And I just, you know, it's nice to hear, but I don't get super excited about it, you know. And one day he looks at me and goes, you know, Renee, I love listening to music. You love playing music. I was like, that's exactly
Bingo.
Right.
Bingo. And I buy a couple records a week. I try to. I love having vinyl and listening to records. But I love playing music. It's not uncommon to be playing and looking at people listening to the music and thinking, that sounds so fun. That looks so fun, listening to a band. But I don't get the chance to do that very often because I play every day.
But I mean...
Which I love, you know. Yeah, of course, I wouldn't trade it. But I do. I like Jazz Fest because of that. I can go play a set or two and then go hear five bands.
I don't hear other bands.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going out after my gig.
Right, often.
I'm 41. I'm boring.
Yeah, I go home.
Yeah.
you have to. Yeah. You have this kind of mid-century aesthetic, you know,
Love it. Yeah.
All your Tropicales records have this kind of Liberty record style.
100%.
Mid-century design, graphic.
The kind of 1950s, 1960s version of almost everything is my favorite.
Okay.
Like the cars. Any cars. I like the versions from the 50s and the 60s the most. Most music, I like the... Louis Armstrong, I like his records from the 50s more than his records from the 20s. Mighty Sparrow, I like his records from the 50s more than the 1970s.
Okay.
Art Neville, give me those Alan Toussaint, you know, those early records. I love that the most. I like the Meters, don't get me wrong, but give me that early stuff the most. Like, I love that era.
Yeah, you ever think about why that is?
Who knows? I have no idea.
Okay.
No idea.
It's funny how...
Yeah,
certain people have these vibrations. Now, were you ever into? I mean, the Tropicales kind of verges on exotica a little bit.
Definitely.
Are you into Martin Denny?
Yeah, absolutely. Arthur Lyman, Martin Denny, Hima Sumac.
Right.
I love the kind of like tiki craze for sure. That's where a lot of the band started. You know, as a Latitude 29 Fever Dream.
Right. Well, you were the right age to be influenced by the lounge revival.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah. What were those records? There was a bunch of compilation CDs.
I mean, to me, it was like it felt like a little bit of a pose or a little bit.
I'm sure it was definitely.
Like, you know, I remember this music like you know
the first time.
I mean, kind of not really. I wasn't a contemporary, but I knew through my parents.
Definitely.
That. So
no, it hit me. It hit me in high school. Like I've loved that stuff my whole life, definitely.
But it opened up a lot of ears, and you know,
for sure.
People listening to the real stuff,
for sure.
Like,
and that it's been interesting to team up with this label in New Jersey because their whole crowd is people that like instrumental music, original or not, but specifically with that sound from the 50s and 60s. So they throw these events, and it's surf rock bands playing original music or Ventures songs. And it's not a jazz scene. That's not my scene. I've never wanted to play modern jazz music. I've like instrumental music, but it's not like I want to go play John Coltrane.
Right.
It's cool, but that's not what I'm going to do, you know? And so meeting those people, like, yes, let's go.
Now, did you see Herb Alpert?
Love Herb Alpert.
I think at 91, he has a new record coming out.
Unreal. I was in a Herb Alpert music video a couple of years ago.
It's called Tijuana Gas.
Okay. All right.
I had
those like whipped cream and other lights
gas.
And those Sergio Mendes records. Like I had all that.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No,
love
I was
it.
Totally
loved
into
it since
Brazil
I was in 76. Grade.
Yeah, yeah. I remember. I have my parents' copies of those records now.
Yes, same.
You know?
100%.
Yeah, man.
You hear Derek Carr retired.
Did see that. Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you're okay with that.
I'm okay.
Well, yeah.
Let's the Saints off of a $30 million salary cap.
Yeah. Are they going to bring Jameis back, though? That's the question.
No, Jameis is done.
He's gone. Yeah. No, they're done.
He's charming, though.
You like him?
He's charming.
The team.
Why? Because he steals crawfish from a Florida supermarket.
Does he?
Yeah, he did. He was busted for that.
He was popular with his teammates. I know that.
Right.
And my son always liked him because he said he's an exciting player. You know?
Yeah.
Again, I don't know anything about football, but I know he's funny and I like him. And
all right. Well, he's no longer a Saint.
Does he play with anybody?
He's with the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
You know, fighting for a job.
Yeah.
You know, because they just drafted Deion Sanders' kid.
Oh, okay.
Shedeur Sanders.
Wow.
Right, went much lower in the draft than predicted.
Yeah, much lower, you know, because his dad is a jerk.
Neon Deion.
And, you know, and
well, I heard the real thing was you don't want to hire a backup quarterback who's going to wind up being the main story at your team.
That's fair.
Yeah, but a lot of people think he should have been a starting quarterback.
Is he that good?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so. No, I don't think so.
The answer is no.
You know.
Now, Charlie, so, you know, going back to this mid-century or possibly earlier anachronistic inclination that you have, you've put out some unusual releases with the Tropicals, one, the Alcoa Sessions.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So there was a steamboat pleasure cruise that left out of New Orleans, run by the Alcoa Company, which is the aluminum company of America, that ran from 1949 to 1959, New Orleans to Venezuela, Jamaica. They went down to the French Caribbean. They went to, I don't think they went to Cuba. They went to the Dominican Republic. And so I've always wondered, their advertising leans heavily into the music and the dancing that you were going to hear on board. They also released records on 45 by the Duke of Iron, by Haitian drumming groups. So they would put out albums or singles of Caribbean music that they just licensed. They didn't record it,
right,
but they licensed it. And so all of their artwork, all of their advertising is leaning heavily into, you know, here's the cool music. You're going to hear Beguine music. You're going to hear Calypso. You're going to hear rah-rah bands from Haiti. You're going to hear drumming groups from the Dominican. You're going to waltz. There's going to be Venezuelan waltzes on deck under the stars at sea.
Right.
Beautiful artwork, like what we were saying earlier.
Right.
You know, everything hits me exactly, bullseye.
Uh-huh.
And so I've always wondered what the band was. They say, you know, dancing on deck. So is there a band on that boat?
Okay.
They don't specifically say that there is. They say there's dancing.
Are these gay cruises?
That was probably
they
before the time
like
when they had when they could say that as a top line.
Totally.
Thing.
Yeah.
There was no Broadway shows, was there?
I don't think so. It was. I've wondered: is the band on there New Orleans band, or are they picking up bands along the way? But that's the era when Dave Bartholomew is putting out music that's certainly inflected by Caribbean music.
Right, right.
Lots of New Orleans music, all American pop music is inflected by...
That's the thing, like, you know, I try to explain to people other places, like, people in New Orleans think the Mambo is from New Orleans,
right,
you know?
Exactly. So I've always, as soon as I found out about this and started seeing the ads for this cruise, like, what is that band? Is that band Caribbean music? Is it Caribbean musicians? Are they playing any New Orleans music? Because that's, like I was saying, the era that I specifically like, the New Orleans rock and roll at its peak for my money.
Right.
Caribbean music at its peak for my money.
So you wound up assembling this large group of musicians from all these places, Cuba, Trinidad, Martinique, and U.S.
There's 20 of us on there, and it's all music from the period that you might have heard on that cruise boat. So there's a couple Dave Bartholomew songs. There's some Beguine from the French Caribbean, from Martinique, from Guadeloupe. There's a waltz from Venezuela on there. There's a Calypso on there. And I called in, you know, all the favors I could.
Right. Nice. Now, this other record you made, C. Beguine, that's a solo record of yours, I suppose.
Yep.
And that was recorded straight to 78 RPM acetate.
Yeah, bingo. So a buddy of mine had
Going way back.
A buddy had a 78 cutter and a bunch of blank 78s, acetate 78s. So we got that into his apartment on St. Claude.
You made this record for five people.
Yeah,
who have
basically
players to play.
It was a fool's errand. I thought record collectors might like it because it sounds like a record, but record collectors like records. They don't like CDs, and people that like CDs don't like CDs that sound like shit.
Okay, so you weren't releasing an actual 78.
No, we put it on CD,
and it sounds like
a 78.
Right, I misunderstood. Because my next question was going to be, do you have any plans to release any wax cylinders?
I've done three or four wax cylinders.
Really?
Yes. You got the right guy. I've done a handful of songs to wax cylinder. Guilty.
Where do you record a wax cylinder?
There's a guy here. I did one in Laplace. We did some Kid Ory music straight to wax cylinder in Laplace at his house.
Holy moly.
I also,
See how my mind works?
I'm way ahead of you. There's a wonderful musician in Austin, Texas, a guy named Colin Hancock, and he recorded a band in New York City in the height of COVID, 2020. I somehow snuck into New York and did a wax cylinder recording.
Okay.
That is out there. You can find it.
I'm trying to make a joke, but it's
too real.
It's too real.
Yeah. Or the people, what's a wax? thing.
It's like what, like a Thomas Edison 1910, 1890
yeah,
something?
It's early. Pre-records.
Yeah.
It's pre-wax disc. It was a cylinder, and they came like in a 2-inch in diameter
yeah.
by maybe 4-inch tall little tube. And you would slide it out, and what you'd put that onto a player that had a needle that would sit
yep.
in that and read all the impressions
why would
in
you
the wax.
Do that?
Well, that's just that was the first that was what they had before. Yeah. Oh, why would
why
you
would
want
I want to do
now?
That now?
Yeah, right.
That's a fair question.
It seems like a waste of time.
It might not be a waste. Of, yeah,
well,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
Maybe when you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll fair. Come back.
Well, I like it though. I like the lost cause they used
yes.
to refer.
Yeah. So every now and then I'll hear that Say Begin record on OZ, and I just think this sounds terrible, but it's kind of cool. All like right. it sets a vibe, but it sounds awful. Like it is not a good sounding record. Obviously, it sounds like it's from 1929. I mean, it sounds terrible. Well, a friend of mine,
but it has a flavor.
It has a flavor, and I have a friend. It's all so that record is all music from Guadeloupe and Martinique.
You have a friend. That's good.
I do have one
yeah,
friend,
have friend
who played
yeah.
who played that for a drummer in Guadeloupe, and it tricked him. It fooled him. He said, "Oh,
that was an old record."
Yeah, I don't know these. I don't know what band is this.
Wow.
You know, like so. It it does sound like a
nice.
Band from Guadeloupe from right. 1931.
Nice.
I mean, it does sound like that.
Nice. Well, Charlie, we're kind of on the downslope of the
yeah.
podcast here, but is yeah. there anything, any kind of hidden aspects of your life that we should know about? Like recently we had a guy I've known for a long time, and I was having a casual conversation, found out that he had lived with the cramps and been their roadie
Come
for
on.
4 years.
No, I haven't done anything that cool.
No, you haven't
no,
done anything, nothing
wish.
Like that. You're
nothing that
not
cool.
involved in any cults except for Squirrel Nut Zippers, obviously.
Yeah, that's
but,
fair.
But he never worked at Enron or the NSA.
Yeah, Monsanto,
think,
something like that. No,
you think
no.
Your uncle was in the agency
likely,
possibly. Yeah.
Likely.
Likely.
Yes. No, nothing that exciting. I wish. Like I said, I'm boring.
Okay, well, not so boring. Don't say that on the podcast.
Yeah, okay. No,
so the rest of the summer, you're going to be playing here on Frenchman Street all the time, and then you're taking the Tropicals on the road in August, I believe.
Yep, we've got a 2-week run in August. What's up, Carl? Hey, Vince. We have a 2-week run in August starting up in Cape Cod, Martha's Vineyard.
Cape of Cod. Sure,
the Cape yeah. of Cod. down in New York City. Our singer lives in New York, so this
okay.
is, you know, we'll be able to get her and do a new tour. We got a lot of new music, hopefully a new single out by then.
Oh,
and
nice.
We're working on it, yeah.
Always something exciting happening in the Charlie Halloran universe.
Keep it going. Content.
Yeah.
Okay,
We're leaning into the more Rocksteady New Orleans, you know, Irma Thomas as Rocksteady and Ernie Cato as Rocksteady.
Okay.
And
all right.
Ernie Cato, he's still around?
No.
Oh.
He's long gone, long gone.
So.
Burn, Cato, burn.
That's
Never
right.
be another oh. emperor of the universe. Anyway, coolest. Well, Charlie, thanks so much for coming on, man. It's been a kick. I hope it was worth you giving up a gig.
Worth it. Very much worth it.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah,
here's
man.
Manny.
Well,
yeah.
well Manny, how do we, what do we say?
Listen, man, what is it? Trouble never ends.
But the struggle continues.
Yeah, good night.
Good night.